This episode of the show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook of your choosing by going to audibletrial.com/missspots. Choose from over 180,000 different titles, such as Chris Jericho's latest book, No is a Four-Letter Word. It's even narrated by the man himself. Audiobooks are perfect for the person on the move. Believe me, they're great. Maybe you want a mystery novel or a biography of someone you love. Audible has it all. Plus, it's free to try. If you don't like it, which would be weird, cancel and keep your free audiobook that you downloaded forever. Go try it now at audibletrial.com/missspots. Audible. Listening is the new reading.
Mike, we just watched the first ever episode of AEW Dynamite, and it was okay. It was okay. It was kind of fine, and it was okay.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah, this and other monumental moments coming up on the Misspots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fiend!
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, big week of wrestling here. We have
very, very big week, yes.
Season premieres, even though wrestling doesn't work in seasons like that. A new league rises. That's the tagline for AEW. Didn't know that there were leagues. But yeah, we're in a new time slot. We've moved to Fridays now. We're just following SmackDown apparently. And
change is afoot.
Yeah. Speaking of change, Raw, who was kind of trending upwards, kind of took a nosedive with this episode.
I found this episode to be just god-awful.
Even offensive at some points.
It's just they continue with this stupid romantic storylines. Whatever they're thinking, if they were looking at the Mike and Maria Kanellis storyline and saying, wow, this is the worst thing on our television, let's do another one of those. What are they thinking? This was a non-consequential. I called this to you non-sequitur the show.
Yeah.
There was no continuity. There was nothing that made any sense whatsoever. There was nothing but boring repetition over and over again in stupid storylines. Listen, pyro back. Cool. New music. Who cares? But sure, fine.
A
new
bland
set.
Stage.
I don't know what they were thinking with this. This is a nothing stage. I don't. It's a screen all the way up from the ground or something. But it's been that way for years.
It looks like a curtain just hung there with stuff projected on it.
It's just very unimpressive. Let's put it that way. It's not terrible. It's just very, very unimpressive. Especially if they're going to make this a season premiere and try to make a change, it just doesn't look great. Brand new 3-person announce booth. Jerry the King Lawler. Man, this is a legend. This is a guy who had his time. We don't need you.
No. Sorry.
First of all, we don't need 3-person announce teams. I don't understand why this is necessary, and they keep doing this with every show, including AEW. But Jerry Lawler, his brand of comedy, his brand of humor, he is so out of place. And the fact that he's in this situation, it's beyond words to me.
He did a Austin Powers fat bastard joke. That movie came out in 1999, 20 years ago, which, by the way, is 2 years less than how old Dominic Mysterio is, who he called a teenager.
there's a lot wrong with the whole thing. And there's a lot wrong, in my opinion, with the whole Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio thing. They had this match to set up for a title opportunity for this show. They obliterate that in the first segment. We could have actually had Mysterio against Rollins and had at least a fun match and had Rollins go over. That would have been a fine thing to have on this show. What I don't understand, and I keep seeing people going, this was such a great segment and it put Brock Lesnar over as a beast. Okay, fine. It kind of did that. But why? Why did he attack these people? To send a message to Kofi Kingston? That is just, that's absurd.
And
Maybe I'm dumb. Maybe I expect too much. Maybe several things are wrong with me. But if they simply would have had early in the night, in the day, Dominic says something off color to Mysterio and Brock overhears it, or Mysterio bumps into Brock Lesnar in the backstage, at least give us some provocation for why this guy wants to destroy the other guy. There just was nothing to this. It was a complete non sequitur, and it had nothing. It was just a thing to do a thing, and that's not good TV.
And how is this getting Brock Lesnar over? Brock Lesnar is Brock fucking Lesnar. He has been booked as one of the most over guys in the promotion for the last 4 or 5 years. He broke the Undertaker streak. He rarely loses. Like, this is, he's a special event guy. Like, to go along with just how silly and out of place this was, like you said, and they could have put the barest minimum effort into explaining it. A 2-minute handheld camera thing could have done something here, and they just didn't.
I just don't understand why they don't want to have some kind of continuity or some kind of logic to their TV show. There just wasn't a whole lot right around about this thing. We had the god awful Miz TV with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. This was terrible. This was a terrible segment that, once again, things just happened. First of all, I have no idea what they were trying to do, but whatever they did was nonsensical. Hogan went out, put Ric Flair over as the greatest of all time. Ric Flair got mad at this.
And seemingly shot on him.
Ric Flair got angry that Hulk Hogan just called him the greatest of all time and said, I want to fight you for this. Hogan just said he was the best. What does this mean? What is happening? And for this all to be set up for a pointless nothing match in Saudi Arabia. The only good thing about this is that I won't have to watch it because I don't watch those shows.
Yeah. And once they got into the thick of that, I was like, oh, this is what this is all about. This is legend nostalgia for the Saudi Arabia show. It all made sense once it was the dust settled out of that whole thing. And this is where we get into that weird point 2 times a year to where we have 2 kind of different universes going on. We have the Saudi Arabia universe that has their own show and their own storylines being booked. And then we have the real world where other storylines are being booked for the regular pay-per-views. And now we're going to have Seth involved in this Team Hogan versus Team Flair stuff. We're going to have many people involved in this. And while also being involved in other storylines building towards the other pay-per-views that are going on. So, yay.
I felt this entire segment was booked with Mad Libs. Seth just coming out, they didn't know this was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, all these people are lining up to be on their team immediately, including Rusev for some reason. Seth Rollins, I think, is in every feud. I think Seth Rollins is in every... They should have just put him in every segment.
You know, the camera never catches him, But he is always one of the people running after the 24/7 championship too. But like the camera just is never on him at that moment.
Yeah, we also had in this, we had several tag matches. None of them mattered. The original Sandwich Club loses yet again, which I believe next week we'll hear that they're even more dominant now. They are like a Benjamin Button of professional wrestlers. They just, the more they lose, the more dominant they become. They have been so terribly handled that it's embarrassing. Heavy Machinery, no thank you.
They are a SmackDown tag team who somehow earned, word was used, earned a Raw Tag Team Championship match. How the fuck does that happen?
Oh, you want to talk about earned? At one point, one of the announcers, I'm not sure which one, it wasn't King for sure, said that Rusev's championship match was well-earned. His title shot was apparently well-earned after losing, I don't know, 75 to 80% of all of his matches for the past 3 to 5 years, and then disappearing for several months.
And the only match that he's had since coming back was a squash against Mike Kanellis.
Well-earned, Mike. Yes. Well-earned. This was an embarrassingly booked show. Also, did you know that Ricochet's a superhero?
I've heard
Ricochet's a superhero 14 times during this last episode of Raw. We get it. Vince McMahon heard that Thanos was a thing, but we don't need to have this repeated over and over and over again. Their depressing devotion to repeating catchphrases, thinking that's how they're going to become cool and hip. That's not how it is. People find something, they go, oh, that's cool, and they latch onto it, and they chant it. They say it. You don't just repeat it over and over again until it drills into somebody's skull. AJ and Alexander had a good match.
Yeah.
Fine. That was okay. But the last segment with Lana and Bob Lash, for some reason, god awful. If this show was what WWE wanted to put out to the fans, saying this is what professional wrestling and WWE is all about, we've got a new league, as you said earlier, Mike, starting, and we want to show you we're special and you need to stick around here, they whiffed big time. This was a garbage show. And by the way, last thing that happens, Bray Wyatt shows up and his lights dim and he beats up Seth Rollins. Who cares? This is the pure repetition of this character now being on every episode of Raw on both the Firefly Funhouse and on the show, doing the same exact thing every time. You are dangerously close to making this character unimportant already.
Yeah, absolutely true. This is WWE MO, their fingerprints all over it, is the nuance is not in their vocabulary. It is something that if they catch fire with one little thing, they're going to bash it into the ground. That's what they did with the Fashion Files. That's what they did with Rusev Day, sort of. They just bash Rusev into the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
They cannot be slight with a single thing. And yeah, we're seeing that right here. And I give Rusev and Lana credit for saying yes to something like this. And maybe they felt like their hands were tied, but like I saw Lance Storm tweeted out a quote from Randy Savage and how he supremely regretted ever doing a storyline involving like Elizabeth against him, because he felt like it ultimately led to like the downfall of their marriage.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be bringing family into things like that. And
it is not interesting.
No,
it's
not
garbage and it's unwatchable.
Yeah.
This is
lowest common denominator.
Yeah. This is now, and this is just going forward, I will not watch those segments. There is nothing good that can come of it. We've seen Lana and Rusev with Ziggler and Summer Rae. We've seen Aiden English say that she was... We've seen this over and over and over again. And if this is Paul Heyman's idea of great booking, if this is his idea, Paul, sorry, man, this is not.
No.
This is not what's going to do it for you. And
this is
kind of show isn't... This kind of show is not going to... I am... Painful. I'm very close to not watching WWE Raw. I mean, this is how bad that show was to me.
Yeah. And this is sad for the way of booking Lana. So are we made to want to feel like Lana's a floozy or something? Like, oh, she's never being serious and committed to her partner that, like you said, Ziggler. And this Aiden thing, even though the Aiden thing wasn't
real, like nonsense,
but this is just the story that they're portraying to us is that Lana is some unfaithful person.
Well, and Mike, they're going to try to, I guess, do a storyline. You'll have to tell me what it is about. Cause like I said, I won't watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not good. I really did enjoy, we're recording after watching AEW. We have not watched the most recent episode of NXT. I really liked the last episode of NXT the week before.
I had it on splits. Well, I had NXT playing on my laptop, and then AEW Dynamite on my TV.
Okay, if I had to, and once again, not watching this most recent episode of NXT, the 2 hour real debut, I guess you would say, because the last couple weeks it's been 1 hour, and then the rest on the network. I prefer NXT so far. To me, NXT is the truly different product, shot differently, with better wrestling and just a more stripped down approach to me. Because AEW did a lot of WWE stuff here, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tell me what you thought about this episode, because that's really the most important thing. Screw Raw. It was terrible. It's a premiere in word and in name only. This is a week for AEW. We've been waiting for this forever. Tell me what you thought.
I thought that it was a good show. It didn't blow me away, and it was far from disappointing me. There were definitely some things about WCW, and probably the biggest thing of all is there were slight hints and nods in the commentary that were almost made to feel like this was some sort of continuation of WCW. The way that Tony Schiavone talked about it a lot is saying that the last time we were on TNT, like it's almost like this, just this fantasy booking of the continuation of WCW of sorts. I wrote some notes down, which I don't tend to do a whole lot, but I just felt compelled to write some notes. Some things that I loved about this show. I really liked the commentary on this. I thought these three guys worked great together. I know people have been tough on JR with some of his commentary stuff.
A lot of flubs.
Yeah.
A lot of flubs.
I've always been a fan of Excalibur on the indie circuit. You're probably not super familiar with him.
No, not at all.
But he is very into, like, he is a technically savvy guy. He knows pretty much the back and forth of the business. So he knows moves. He knows histories of guys. And he can be funny, too. I thought that Tony Schiavone was actually the glue in the whole thing. I felt like he kind of made the whole booth work, oddly enough. I thought that everyone felt like they were in the know and that they flowed well. So I love that. The biggest thing possibly that I loved is the win-loss records on their names during their entrances.
Yes.
It makes wins and losses matter when you can see their records. I just love that.
Oh, yeah, that was great. And there was several things. They talked about the refs multiple times, the quality of the ref.
Everyone was named.
Yes, that's great. The win and loss record, they talk about wins and losses. Unbelievable. A 20-minute time limit.
Oh, yes, and reminders of how much time is left in the match.
Yes, this is wonderful. The first, to me, I would say the first two matches, the first 30 to 40 minutes of the show, I thought were really spectacular. I thought the first match was great. I thought Cody did a great job. Like NXT and like a lot of maybe the indie shows, I thought that there were multiple times where the match should have ended. The reverse superplex off the top rope. There's a couple times I'm like, man, that should end the match. But the finish of that match with Cody, I thought was really good.
You like the roll-up win?
But that's not a roll-up. It's a small package after an impact because he took the knees to the gut off of a top rope move and then a nice small package where he was trying to fight out of it and the match had gone on long enough. I thought that was a solid way to end the match. In that situation, I do think that a couple of the impact finishers or the impact moves should have ended it, but that is kind of the way that we tell stories now is that we have to get those big pops and have those big kickouts.
The only thing that I would debate on you with that is under any other circumstance, I think that would have been a fine way of finishing the match. Very first match of the very first show on TV. I would have rather a more definitive finish with a finisher just to make it more ingrained in stone. That's my issue with it. Yeah. It was still a great match and a lot of fun. And
yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was solid. I thought that MJF, that dude's a star.
Yeah.
That guy's a star. And this was a perfect kind of thing for him. I thought that went over really, really well. That guy can absolutely talk. I've only heard about him. This is the first time I've ever seen him perform.
There's some hints of Mr. Perfect in there.
You think so?
Yeah. I like it. I like him a lot.
Yeah. I really like the Adam Page and the Pac match. I thought it was a solid match. None of the matches... Pac, I'm sorry. None of the matches were... great, in
no,
my opinion.
There was no barn burners.
No, they were all solid matches, in my opinion. That match was very good. I like where they're going. I know that Hangman Page is supposed to be like the next guy there. There's someone that everyone's really high on, but apparently just some of the inner workings, some of the responses he's gotten from crowds recently, I think they're going to go with a redemption storyline there. I think we're going to see him now having lost some matches and having to kind of fight his way up as an underdog, which I think is a solid thing.
I think overall, so too, especially for the people not familiar with him.
Yeah, so I really like that. The things I really didn't like that I said, these are WWE things. One, Jay and Silent Bob. Pointless, nothing, not entertaining. These are actors that were not entertaining and added nothing to the show. Yeah. Don't do that. Not necessary. The Nyla Rose and Riho match, if you just take out the spots outside where there should have been a double countout,
right? And DQs.
If you take out those, the second Nyla Rose grabbed a chair, I said, this is WWE.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? This is stupid for that character to do it. This is for the world title. You cannot win it this way. Your character is an idiot. And then you have her go for more chairs. They were out on the outside for, 40 seconds, a minute and a half? And Ross doesn't say anything. Shivani doesn't say anything. This is just the most casual, hey, we want to do this one spot. Who cares if it doesn't matter? Who cares if it's not, it doesn't work within the context of this match? If you want to make wins and losses matter, if you're going to actually present this as a sport, a physical combat sport, go by the rules, especially in your first ever women's championship match. I know the crowd was hot at the end. They popped big for the finish, but that was garbage. It totally took me out of the match because I'm expecting more. I'm expecting more from this presentation, and you gave me a typical WWE match, which is the stuff that I can't stand.
Yeah, I actually have in my notes, why would Nyla use a chair and risk getting DQ'd? And the commentators mentioned that part is like when she first pulled out the chair, they're like, DQs happen. You can actually lose the title when the title's vacant on a DQ because the other person wins it.
And also, she was dominating. Why would she go for a chair when she's dominating? So much of that was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad storytelling.
And then they did the same thing as the first match. They had the babyface who won was going to have an in-ring interview, and it was interrupted by a heel. Twice in a two-hour show, you couldn't come up with anything better than that? How do you look at that as your blocks of your time and not go, hey, guys, we're doing the exact same thing we did 40 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I thought that was terrible. And it's just, I expect better. I was expecting a better presentation when it came to those kind of things. And I was really expecting a better presentation in the main event, where immediately it broke down completely.
Yeah.
Everyone should be DQ'd. Everybody. And... yeah. Moxley interrupts and pulls a guy out of the match, and we just keep the match going?
Right in front of the referee. The referee looked at Moxley and was like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is a DQ. Yeah. This is a... How is this not? I cannot stand the convenient storytelling here. If you wanted to put on a good match with the Young Bucks, and I forgot the name
maybe
of it.
Maybe DQs don't exist.
I don't know. If you want, once again, all you had to do, don't have Jericho and don't have Omega involved in the match. Have them accompany their buddies down to the ring. Then Moxley can pull Omega away. Jericho can help cheat on a 3-on-2 situation. And we're good. And we got a match. I know you want to put Omega in the ring. He's one of the absolute stars here. But there's a lot of other ways you could have involved Omega. He was involved earlier on in the show. It just, if you want to present yourself as being different, there's some easy ways to do it. And having rules that are actually fixed that you follow is a number one, it's the best thing to do, in my opinion. It doesn't allow for lazy storytelling and lazy booking, but it's the best way to go. And then to have this total clusterfuck ending with everybody in their mother out there in the ring with Jack Swagger or Jake Hager coming out as kind of the big get. Listen, man, I am all for giving a guy a chance in this situation and having him be this, you know, big kind of surprise person. He is a physical specimen. He's not untalented. I get all that. But for years, we watched him in the WWE be basically devoid of any personality.
Yeah.
And as a slightly above average wrestler.
Yeah.
He doesn't
do
anything.
His best work was when he had a mouthpiece.
And he doesn't do anything bad, but he certainly, I've never seen him do anything where I was like, man, I got to watch that Jack Swagger match.
Yeah.
So, and then just having all this stuff just kind of break down into this schmoz ending. Yeah, you're setting an angle up. I hope you're setting an angle up. I hope this is going to be something big, but from the outside looking in, watching this as my first show, wanting to love it, wanting to just glow about this and go, ha ha ha, WWE, this is what you're supposed to do. I got several glimpses of it, but overall, I saw a overbooked WWE light product.
I can see where you're saying that, especially with the overbooking of the final segment. Like, there's just too many cooks in the kitchen there. So many stories intermingling apparently here. I pay attention a bit to the indies and to Japan. I am not a super fan by any means. I watch when is convenient or when I hear about a specific match to watch, things like that. So, like, I'm not really sure if Cody and Kenny and the Bucks are good right now. I know that there was some storylines of like the fracturing between them in Japan. So I'm sorry, I don't really know. But then you got Santana and Ortiz and Sammy Guevara and now Jake Hager and Jericho and Moxley. It seems like there's so many splinterings off of this core group while also somehow coming back together. It's a little confusing. And I know that they tried their best to explain how there have been events already. Like, they've mentioned some of their events and how they already have a champion and whatnot, which can be confusing to people who are tuning in for the first time. But I'll give them kudos for that. But there does need to be a little more backstory on some of the stuff going on. Yeah, it's 2 hours. They have a lot of stuff going on. So we'll probably see that, hopefully see that more through the coming weeks on shows. But yeah, it was a fine show. It was way better than Raw, that's
true.
For sure.
100%. No, I enjoyed it more than Raw. And but I am only frustrated as much as I am because I expected so much. And because I'm so sorry. Because I expected so much, and they have so much good foundation with the things we talked about in the beginning, with the time limits and all this. Just go all the way. Give me a great professional wrestling product that really relies on the in-ring stuff, and I would be through the moon about this.
Yeah. I feel like there's a couple other things that we can talk about. Probably from the NXT. Do you know anything that happened on NXT?
No idea, no.
Oh, okay.
You can talk about it if you want.
Okay. So the big title matches, there were three big title matches on the show. Adam Cole retained against Matt Riddle, and they kicked off the show. Shayna Baszler retained against Candice LeRae, and the Undisputed Era retained against the Street Profits for the tag team titles. But the big news coming out of this was Finn Balor showing up in NXT and apparently setting his sights on Adam Cole.
That's great.
But also, to close out the show, Tommaso Ciampa showing back up and setting his sights on Adam Cole.
I
don't know what to think about that.
Well, could end up, we've done a lot of stuff over the years with NXT, with multi-person world title matches that have just been barn burners and amazing. I'm going all the way back to Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and those guys. Haven't watched, obviously, in a while.
Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd, four ways. Yeah.
So many great matches in there. I can see that being a really cool thing. I love seeing Balor back on NXT. He did so well there. He's been handled so poorly, so consistently on SmackDown and Raw. So that's exciting. What I really liked about the matches that I saw the week before was the presentation and the matches felt different. The impact felt different. And maybe this is just all because of the way it's shot in a smaller arena. I don't know what it is, but I found the matches to be really intriguing. I found the matches to be something that I did not want to pull my attention away from. Mm-hmm. I rarely even watch most matches in WWE. I like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And it does. And there's nothing really that keeps your interest in. But watching some of the NXT matches, I'm kind of riveted. I'm kind of drawn to the screen. I feel like I'm going to miss something if I don't watch it. And AEW definitely gave me some of that with the matches that I really enjoyed this Wednesday too. So the in-ring product being more intense, more exciting, and just feeling like a different vibe is a thing that I like the most about specifically NXT. Some of that I'm getting with AEW, and obviously WWE is just repetition.
Yeah. And we're of course doing this without having watched SmackDown yet. The new SmackDown moving over to Friday. Now we're releasing on Friday. So we're going to be a little bit off from what you're typically used to hearing us talk about, where we'll next week be starting off with talking about SmackDown, and they're loading this show up. We of course talked about last week, Brock Lesnar and Kofi. We got Kevin Owens and Shane in the ladder match. We got Rock coming back to do a segment on the show. They're hyping this big, and they're making it seem like it's going to be the A show coming on now, being on network TV.
If they thought that Raw was good, I have no expectation that SmackDown will be watchable. And by the way, don't care to see Rock. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to show up. If I want to hear Rock's music, I can go to YouTube. I it's not going to do anything. I don't care about these people not coming, showing up and not doing anything. So, no thank you.
Another big piece of news that I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about it. Have you heard about this CM Punk thing?
Him possibly being part of the Fox Studio show?
Yeah. And being open to working with WWE again if he can get a Brock Lesnar-like deal.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I don't believe a word of it. I can't imagine that happening, and there'll be 25 twists and turns before anything happens.
Probably. Although, like, it is confirmed that he did try, like, audition for this show.
But I cannot imagine with this new partnership, WWE not going to them and going, we don't want this guy anywhere near our product. He hates the WWE. How can he commentate on a studio show? Yeah, I just think this sounds like the most absurd thing in the world. So
crazier things have happened.
Of course they have. And listen, CM Punk could be back on SmackDown. I don't know, but I would bet against it.
Yeah. And out of all of these weird things going on, the new commentary teams, new TV shows, SmackDown gets a two-person booth. Cole and Graves by themselves.
Which is great. That is exactly what you should be doing. And I'm not a huge Cole fan. I do not hate Michael Cole like so many people do. I know he's just doing his job. I am a fan of Corey Graves, even though he spends way too much time screaming at the people and making fun of Byron Saxton, which now he won't be doing. But I do like Corey Graves, and I'm hoping they can do some good work on SmackDown. They have talked about wanting to present WWE SmackDown like a real sport, like a combat sport. And if they do if they do what Mauro Ranallo and the guys on NXT are doing, that's great. Because though that team is awesome. They call moves. They give you insight. On the AEW show, we're hearing about how that pin was not a successful pin because of X, Y, and Z. They're giving you the breakdown of what's happening. We never get that on Raw and SmackDown.
No. And you're exactly right. Mauro and Nigel. Beth is pretty good, too.
She's done a good job. I unfortunately like two-person booths.
Yeah.
And Nigel and Mauro are so good. I feel bad that I'm not a huge fan of Beth Phoenix, but she's doing an excellent job there.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I just think that a two-person booth just flows so much better.
I completely agree with you there. So this is an interesting thing. And we also have a pay-per-view coming up.
Yes, we do.
This weekend. I almost completely forgot about that. I don't really know. And this gets into now with our predictions. I don't know if we can necessarily give predictions because we don't necessarily have the entire card at our disposal right now for what we are going to be getting.
Well, first of all, we can give the predictions for the matches that we know of, and if we want, we're probably going to watch the show together. We can predict beforehand.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will say this. The fact that we don't have the whole card and they're going to put matches on 2 days before, preposterous. Terrible booking.
There's only three matches booked for this pay-per-view right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's insane.
Holy shit. It's the two Hell in a Cells that we already know of, Seth and Bray and Becky and Sasha, and then Daniel Bryan and Roman versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper.
All right, with the Bray Wyatt and Seth thing, who do you got?
I'm going to go with Bray. I don't see them derailing this just yet.
Don't you think that Bray could win without winning the title? Do you think that he could just obliterate Seth Rollins to a certain degree and not even pin him?
Yeah, and just have the match end? Like they'll just sign off without the match having actually ended.
And I think that's
almost a Lex Luger situation.
I think it might be the best way to book it. I don't think that character walking around with the title makes a lot of sense right now. But
no.
I think he has to win. I think he has to destroy Seth Rollins. I think that would be pretty cool. I think it would be a thing where he doesn't really care about it. He just cares about destruction. Mm-hmm. And eventually can care about the title. Maybe even during this feud. But I think Bray can... I think he could shift... One of the things that is I get so frustrated with Bray's Firefly Funhouse is that he's not saying anything.
Yeah.
He's doing what he did in his previous character and just rambling and saying the same things over and over again. There's no context to it.
He's rambling rabbit.
Well, because he has nothing to work with. There's nothing new to say. We've already seen it. If we can see a storyline development with Bray's character going from, hey, I just want destruction, or the Fiend just wants destruction, now he's decided he wants your gold. I think that could be an interesting at least couple weeks worth of television and a couple week worth of promos that don't sound exactly alike. But I'm going to go with Bray 2 with this, and I'm kind of going with it. I know we the
You're doing
rules
the
are
caveat,
nebulous.
Yeah.
No, the rules are nebulous when we go for these things,
yeah.
Right? I think Bray's going to win this match, however that means it. He may not have the title, and if we want to say that we lost because Seth retained the title, fine. But I think Bray's going to be the one that is the real star here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So how about your thoughts on Becky versus Sasha? Who do you got there?
You know, Becky has been such a better character. Even her quick little, you know, you made it personal, I'm going to make it painful line. Love that line. And it doesn't take much. It just takes those little things that make you a badass. I really don't want to see her lose this title right now. I think I picked Sasha at Clash of Champions.
I don't remember.
No, actually, I'm looking at it right now. We both did.
Oh, we did? Oh.
Yeah, we both picked Sasha at Clash of Champions thinking they'd ride the momentum of her and then maybe, you know, ping pong that title back and forth and Becky would end up having it. With that logic, I mean, thinking Sasha would actually get this title, but we saw kind of a DQ schmoz kind of finish in the last one. I don't know. I'm going to go with Becky for this one. I just think she's just heads and tails above everybody in the division.
I agree with you, and for that same reason, I'm going to just stick with her as well. She's so heavily, I'm changing my mind. I'm going with Sasha, because now what I was just going to say as one of my reasons for her keeping the title, I now realize works against it. She is so heavily advertised for SmackDown. They're going to move her over to SmackDown with the draft.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that. Can I change it? I forgot about the SmackDown thing.
You forgot about the draft.
Yeah.
Almost did too until I realized, like, they've been really pushing her a lot on these SmackDown promos.
Will you allow me to change mine to Sasha?
I guess so. Don't say I never did anything for you. And then Daniel Bryan and Roman versus Rowan and Harper. Like, I've been saying this for weeks. I want there to still be a payoff that Daniel is pulling the strings through the whole thing. And this would be probably one of the ideal moments to make that happen. So, like... I'm going to go with Rowan and Harper.
Me too.
For the same reason, or are you just...
Because I went with Roman last time, and it was Rowan, and I just don't trust my instincts anymore.
Am I winning by a lot now?
I have not had the nerve to actually add everything up. Oh, okay. I've been terrible. This has been the second part of this year... I might as well flip a coin because I have no ability to predict any of these matches anymore.
But yeah, three matches. We are, as of recording this, we're 4 nights away from this show. And they have three matches booked for it.
They'll book a bunch on SmackDown because they've been, all they've done has been focusing on these premieres and everything and how important it is to come out strong and choking badly, by the way. So, listen, I'll be watching SmackDown. I'll be going back and watching NXT. I'll be watching SmackDown over the weekend. I'll probably actually watch it right before Raw next Monday because that's just kind of what I'll end up doing most of the time because I'm not going to watch it during the weekend. I got things to do. But then we're going to get together and watch Hell in a Cell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So I think we got through a good amount today talking about multiple promotions, multiple shows. Anything else of note that I may have missed?
We have to have covered everything.
I think so, too. All right. Well, in that case, thank you, everyone, once again for joining us. Make sure that you check out our social media. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Spots. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Miss Spots. We're also available in this podcast form in many different wonderful fashions, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, or simply MissSpots.com. We're also on all of the major streaming services for podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, all of those. We're available there, so you can enjoy at your leisure on the device of your choice. Otherwise, we'll catch you all next week for a brand new episode here. And the season premiere of SmackDown on Fox. And for Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll see you then. Good night. Good wrestling.